From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November the 15th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial technology industry and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Shelburne, Vermont.
HTML5, what is it? Why is it important? And how will it impact what you do? That's our topic for today. We'll discuss that and more, but first a word from our sponsor. It's your time to sound off. Give us some feedback about what you want to read, see, and hear from Directions Magazine. Take this year's annual reader survey and tell us what you think. It only takes 5 minutes, and you'll be entered into a random drawing for one of three Amazon Kindle Fires. Go to the homepage of Directions Magazine and click on the survey ad or the link at the top of the homepage at www.directionsmag.com. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend. The next generation of hypertext markup language, HTML5, has been the object of discussion, at least in the mainstream media recently, and certainly since Steve Jobs declared that Flash was no longer really necessary. He said this in an Apple blog that was posted and published in April 2010, almost a year and a half ago. And certainly you won't see Flash supported on any of Apple's mobile devices. And the news last week that Adobe was suspending support for Flash on those devices and devote more time to developing HTML5 was certainly a nod that Apple won this argument. And so also last week, two articles appeared in the Wall Street Journal that tried to put some context around HTML5 and what it might do for the future of Internet applications. Certainly, any change to web programming will have an impact on the many web mapping applications that we now use every day. So we want to explore that a bit more about the impact of geospatial technology as best we can in our podcast today. And the way I see it is there are basically three areas where HTML5 is going to impact geospatial tech. So let me start with mobile applications. The Wall Street Journal, and I quote, said one of the biggest drivers for HTML5 is to avoid the labor of creating apps for different devices. But apps still have technical advantages over HTML-based offerings played in browsers, and many companies want to exploit the Apple and Google app stores to distribute their wares. Unquote. Another area that was discussed in that article was standardization, and again, I want to quote from the Wall Street Journal. Some elements of HTML5, which has been under development for several years, have been formally defined by the World Wide Web Consortium and the Web Hypertext Application Technology Working Group, a newer organization that sprung from work from Apple, the Mozilla Foundation, and Opera Software. So this standardization issue is one of those big developments that we want to talk. And then many people who have been around the web for several years are now starting to really give it some muscle behind it. One of those is Mark Andreessen. He says HTML5 is a major step forward. Another person from Silicon Valley, investor Roger McNamee, predicts that the technology will let artists, media companies, and advertisers differentiate their web offerings in ways that weren't practical before. And he says HTML5 is going to put power back in the hands of creative people. And then finally, that same Wall Street Journal article quoted Dean Hakimovich, who is a vice president in charge of Microsoft's Internet Explorer. And he says, when you show people HTML5 applications, they say that it doesn't feel at all like a website. So these three areas were visualization, standardization, and the ability to deploy these apps on mobile devices are kind of the big things that seem to be advantages for HTML5. Now, Dina, you had identified HTML5 as one of your top five things that geospatial technology folks should know about. So why did you say that, and what are you seeing right now?
Right. I selected HTML5 as one of the five things that geospatial folks need to know about as we head into 2012. And part of that just had to do with the fact that it was the next iteration of HTML. But mostly what I was seeing was that the rest of the planet was moving to HTML5, which pretty much means that geospatial is next. We tend to not be the first into these new technologies, but we do follow along once there's been sort of a critical mass of use. Just in the past 2 months or so, applications like Bing and SlideShare and Pandora and Facebook have released HTML5 clients. And in fact, James Fee noted on Twitter about this time, and I'm quoting, "My newsreader is filled with Company X ditches Flash for HTML5. So it sounded like things were just starting to mature enough and folks were starting to move to HTML5. I also could see that we were still feeling the frustration of the challenge of the plugin. And in GIS, you sort of had a handful of different ways to build your apps. Two of the most common were using Flash and using Silverlight, but that still involved the pain of having to keep that plugin up to date, and every time you had a new browser, you had to make sure that you had that plugin installed for that browser, and it just added a layer of complexity that, if it could be eliminated, would change things significantly.
And so these plugins are now all over the place. Many people are developing apps and have had these apps developing. And so the question is just how much redevelopment, rewriting of scripts and applications will have to be done if there is this sudden move to HTML5.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when. Because we're going to start using HTML5 as the default language of writing the web. So that's going to happen. The when part's a little harder. This isn't the kind of thing that you can just flip a switch and move. Because from what I understand, it's not just a front end. You write a new client to your back end. Because in order to take full advantage of what's going on with HTML5, you've actually got to do some back end work. So for example, if your current tool for serving maps is serving up raster tiles, it can't take advantage of the fact that HTML5 can manage vectors. So you're going to have to change that back end such that you can deliver vectors. So this isn't a simple process. So I don't think that the applications built on Flash and Silverlight are going to disappear overnight. But you're going to start seeing folks moving toward HTML5 over the next year or so. And the interesting thing is, if you control both the back end and the front end, you can get in early. And that's what the folks at GIS Cloud did. They announced back in September that they had an implementation of HTML5 where they worked some back end magic and had some front end magic and put together a terrific, very powerful looking demo totally built on HTML5. And you sort of have to keep checking to remind yourself that no, there's no Flash and there's no Silverlight and there's nothing extra you had to do, but you have this incredibly interactive application.
And I would advise our listeners to take a look at what GIS Cloud has done, because playing around with some of their online demos is stunning, if for no other reason than the speed. You know, when you zoom in and you get down to the actual vector information, extremely powerful and fast-moving graphics, things that we had hoped to always see but not necessarily always got with some of the applications.
And if we got them, they were because we had that plugin, which we had to wait to load and all the other time that demanded. Now, the other thing that the folks at GIS Cloud highlighted about HTML5 is that you can actually store data locally such that the app will run if you are not connected to the internet. And if you remember, Google had a big play to do just that with something called Google Gears. And it stopped development on that not too long ago because HTML5 could do it. And I think that is going to have a real impact on how GIS developers put together their applications so that there really can be this seamless movement from plugged in the office and unplugged out in the field without connectivity to the internet.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that in terms of moving to mobile devices, tablets, and better mobile phones. That seems to be one of the things that Jobs indicated. And I'm going to read something briefly from his thoughts on Flash from the April 2010 blog post. He says, in quote, "The mobile era is about low-power devices, touch interfaces, and open web standards, all areas where Flash falls short." So we have moved many geospatial applications to mobile devices. And what I'm wondering is if HTML5 is kind of the solution to deploying mobile apps for the field geospatial professional in a much more richer experience. And certainly the implication for a low power, less strain on the batteries, and we've discussed this in blogs and podcasts before about low battery power and the taking advantage of apps being married to being able to control low power. So what do you think about that aspect, the fact that maybe now a much more richer experience, and we don't have to fight with the battery problems that we have in the past. All seems to be maybe solved by a move to HTML5.
I don't know enough about how HTML5 and battery power are directly connected. It sounds like you have some insight into that.
Well, I'm only taking from what Jobs seemed to indicate on his blog post, but at the very least, the richer experience may be had with an HTML5 implementation. And certainly, it seems like certainly more people are getting into tablets, and I've always questioned whether you need a tablet versus a laptop, but I could easily see that that some of the power of HTML5 may be implementations on a tablet.
I do too, and I think the other half of that story is, let's set the technology story aside for a second and go to the human side of the story, which is using exactly the same app when you're plugged in the office and when you're out in the field, right? Because let's face it, it's a challenge if you move from full ArcGIS when you're in the office to ArcPad outside, right?
Right. Right.
It's got to be. But this idea of a single application that works the same way, it's a big step forward.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. One of the other things I'll mention here is a quote I'll take from that same Wall Street Journal article, on James Lamberti, a vice president at InMobi Mobile Insights, says that the technology is equally important for companies to place the snazzy-looking ads in mobile apps. He says that major advertisers using its services swelled. He says that if they are doing rich media ads, they're doing it in HTML5. And of course, the relationship there to geospatial apps is we're always looking for a flashier visualization of geospatial technology. And having that on a mobile device is something I think everybody has wanted. So we're seeing, I think, as I said in the beginning, three big things coming out of this: standardization, mobility, and then visualizations. I think what HTML5 is going to deliver are on those three promises, I think, that we've wanted in geospatial tech for a while. So we wanted to bring that out into the open today. And so I think maybe the last question is, are we going to have to dump all of these things like Flash and Flex and Silverlight going forward? And I think you had said really that HTML5 may be the end game, is that it's not a question of if but when.
I really think it is inevitable that virtually all of the apps that can take advantage of it will. There may still be things that cannot be done, and you will need some special kind of plug-in. But I think the goal is going to be to try to avoid that at all costs, because then, by definition, you are not locked into whatever Adobe does or whatever Microsoft does. You're locked into the standard, which is HTML.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We at Directions Media would like to remind you that we have an open call for presentations for our Location Intelligence 2012 conference. It'll be held next May 22nd, 23rd in Washington, D.C., and it will be in collaboration with the Oracle Spatial Users Conference. More details can be found at www.locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can do so where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.